So, it's the new year, and there are so many things happening, but let me just say that I love the fact that I made it into 2020, but I just can't understand why people think that way. Because, like, you know, people are always thinking, are always happy and excited because they were able to make it into the new year. And I just don't get it, why that is the only reason. Like, the fact that you made it into a new year is reason enough for you to be so excited. Have you thought about the fact that maybe you are still alive because you have a purpose? Yeah. I mean, the fact that God didn't kill you, natural disasters didn't kill you, the fact that Donald Trump has just killed Suleiman, Suleiman, and the world probably will be going into a tailspin in a few days. Don't you think maybe you have some special purpose? Like, God wants you to stop World War III or something. I don't know, but you shouldn't just celebrate because you just made it into the new year. You should look for more. Like, what is it that God wants me to do? Why am I still alive? Why did this guy die and then I didn't? Because he just doesn't keep us here as pets, you know. We are not his pets. We are his children, executing his purpose, his agenda. We are in charge of his business here. And so I think that people should want more than just celebrate for being alive. That's my point. So, for instance, I have realized that this year, there are a couple of things that I need to do. I've already talked about one on Facebook, our Daily Accra. I wanted to do very well. It's not, when I say I want it to be a serious platform, some people think I'm thinking about only serious news and politics. No. We are looking at a blend of food articles, politics, lifestyle, culture, all those things. Very interesting things that happen in the capital and around the country. But then around the country must be forward in our editorial or whatever. So basically, that's it. I just feel that people are too, like, people just, like, somebody wakes up in the morning and he says, God, thank you for keeping me alive. He when he's about to sleep, he says, God, thank you for keeping me alive. So what, from the time you woke up to the time you were about to sleep, nothing happened. Nothing exciting happened. Nothing of consequence happened. There's nothing that you need to speak to God about. It's just that you are alive. That's all that you care about. No, you can't just care about the fact that you are just alive. That's not why we are here. It's like some people who just live their lives for their children and their families. I just don't understand. They come to this world, they go to school, they grow up, they get jobs, they have kids, they build their houses, they buy their cars, they take care of their kids and their wives and their husbands, and then they die. Then that's it. And then when they die, their kids and the family and the people they knew will come together, and then they will bury them. And then that is not life, please. You should have impact. You should seek to make impact. You should seek to do better, like make the world a better place and all. It's not just for you and your kids. Yeah, like there's this pastor who, I said pastor, evangelist who died. The first one was Billy Graham. See the way the whole of America came to a standstill because one man died. Because he was a man of influence, a man of impact. He was living his life to impact people, to make people, you know, lives better. I hear there was a crusade he did in Korea. He drew over 1 million people in one crusade, 1 million people. It just saddens me that some people have cheapened Christianity so much in this country. And I'm like, look at these people. They don't even know the power of what they have. They don't know. They have no idea. So one man can draw over 1 million people to one place. Which politician in the world can draw 1 million people to one location to demonstrate or to listen to them in a rally? You can't. But Billy Graham was able to bring 1 million people in one place. That's the power of Jesus. That's the power of Christianity. It's so powerful, it's so influential, it's so consequential. I don't know. And then people get the chance to be men of God, and they are doing all kinds of things, and they're like, are these people really serious? Because the power of what you have, what you can do, the impact you can have with it, no money in the world can pay for that. No. Look at the Catholic Church. Last time I was reading about them, and I heard that they had about $10 billion or something. And I was like, Bill Gates is richer than the Catholic Church. Or the Amazon CEO, Jeff Bezos, he's probably richer than the Catholic Church. I don't know for sure, because maybe the article was just quoting the amount of money they have in the bank, because I'm sure the Catholic Church is worth much, much more than $10 billion. But the point is, if all the money they have in the bank is still $10 billion, it means that the Catholic Church is not the richest or the richest entity. But even though some people believe that it's strong, some people think they are the richest entity on earth. But let's just say that. But you see, the Catholic Church is not about the money. You see, I tell people that, look, your church has been around for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, and you think your church is the better between you and the Catholic Church. You are funny. The church has been around for 2,000 years. Your church has been there for how many? 30 years, 50 years, 100 years. And then you think, what, your church is better than a church that has been around for that long? No, they've been through it all. They've seen it all. Like when we say somebody has seen it all, the Catholic Church is an example of seeing it all. They know. Like, they know the history of the world. They know what happened at every stage. And they know, they can predict with accuracy what is going to happen next. And you see, so when a church like that, you can't be about money. They have something beyond money they are pursuing. Look at all the orphanages that they are in charge of, the hospitals and things, all these things. There was a period in the world where there were very dangerous, bad, evil things in the world. And Catholic priests and people like that were the ones who stood up and fought against those things. There were times that the Catholic Church fought in wars, like wars. Wars as in with soldiers and things. Yes. And people don't know all these things. God doesn't keep things around or people around for the fun of it. He will not allow. You see, when Jesus came and the Pharisees were like, he's not from God, and somebody stood up and said, if he's not from God, this guy who was not from God came, he disappeared. This guy who was not from God came, he disappeared. If he's not from God, he also disappeared like them. So let him be. You see, that is the mindset of somebody who understands spiritual things. Because you see, somebody will not be around if they don't have a purpose. God will. What if he has no use for you? Why are you still here? What are you doing? You'll be dead long ago. So the fact that the Catholic Church is still around now, after 2,000 years, when many have already fallen, and we can't even find where their remains are, it should tell you that it's not just about... let's even assume that they have something they worship, or they have some spirit or some power, people are alleged. What makes you think that all those others who have something they worship, last time I was reading about Adolf Hitler, and I hear that they had some serious spiritual things, they were some serious occultic people and things. So, you, where are they now? So, you should understand that for a group to be around up to now, it's not just for the fun of it. They have a purpose, they are serving for God, and God has allowed them to be there. So you should apply the same standard to your own life too. You are not around, you are not alive just for the fun of it. You are alive for a purpose. And so you should find that purpose and live it. And that is the best I can give you for this year. That's been my best New Year gift so far. Because I'm giving you a sense of purpose, a sense of direction. When Jesus went to look for a fruit on the tree, and then there was no fruit, and then he cursed the tree, people just read it and then they go like, oh, this man, he's so powerful. Yeah, he is so powerful. That one, everybody knows. Jesus is so powerful. But there's a lesson in there for us. When he has need for you, remember when you were going to take the camel, for the Hosanna, and then he said, what did he say they should tell the owner? He said, the Lord hath need of him. So when the time comes and God has need for you, and then you are nowhere to be found, or you don't have the capacity to deliver on the need, or you are not useful enough, well, he will just curse you, and then you will die off. It's that simple. You have to be available for his purpose, for his service. It doesn't matter whether you are a Christian or whether you are not a Christian. God decides what he needs you for. There was a time he said he will use Cyrus, who was a secular king. He wasn't a Jewish king, but he said he will use him to humble the rest of the world. Like he's even Donald Trump now. You see, I've come to the place where I don't see God as somebody in a box. He's not in a box. He is a creative person who thinks outside the box all the time. He created this universe, and yet he's able to live outside of it. And when they tell you how big this universe is, you marvel. I've been reading articles about it for some time. For like the whole of last year, I was just reading articles about the universe and all the things and galaxies, the stars, and things. I'm like, what? So God created all these things. Yes, he did. He's so powerful. So the fact that you are alive, the fact that you are not dead, the fact that you are still, your business is still thriving. There are people who I've met who thought that, oh, their business is just for them. They can do whatever they like, and they can just, and then within a few years, the business is no more. Just go and do whatever you like and let's see. And you can go to any man, any you can go anywhere. It will never work again. That is how powerful God is. There are people who have lived. They live their lives anyhow. And then when they were about to die, they will realize that they are about to die, and then they will start running around trying to find a solution, find a cure, find some powerful human to help them. And then they will never be able to find anybody, and then they will die. That is God for you. Because your time has come, you were useless, and you now want to still stay. What do you want to live for? What more do you want to live for? To see your grandkids? You think God cares about you seeing your grandkids? Okay, that he cares about. He cares about you seeing your grandkids. I'm just kidding, but the point I'm making is, he cares about us. He wants us to be happy and successful and enjoy life and everything. But he has a purpose for everything. And so when you are not living that purpose, and when you are not living according to what his dictates are, you shouldn't think that you will be around for long. He will just get rid of you one day, and then you find yourself wanting. So me, I keep telling people, yes, respect God. Even is it, I've asked for people who don't believe there's God. Yes, there's nothing you can do to help them, but there's God, my brother, my sister. He is there. If you don't know, you don't know, and that's fine. But he is. Like, there's no doubt. He is. And he has a purpose for everything and for everyone. And you shouldn't feel so powerful and so big and so whatever and so whatever and think that you are living your life and nothing. There are people that God brings into your life, and he expects you to just help them. And if you don't, that is your end. He was keeping you alive for just that purpose, to help someone. And if you had helped that person, probably the person would have succeeded, and God will use them to be a blessing in your life somehow and keep your life still. But the moment you don't do what God wanted you to do, that's it. You have no use again. You have to go. Jesus said it best, or he showed it best with that tree that he cursed. And yet people still didn't get the memo. So I just feel that when the time comes for you to fulfill God's purpose, just fulfill it. Sometimes just somebody that you will marry. If you don't marry them, that's it. Your life just ends. You will never find peace. You will never be happy. You will never be able to to do anything meaningful because you missed that chance. So be careful and be humble. That's why people have to be humble. That's why you have to be able to control your emotions and your anger. Sometimes the person that you are supposed to help, you'll be so angry at them, you will just walk away from them and then that's it, your life ends. You, no matter what else you do, nothing will work. So you have to be careful, you have to be loyal, you have to be faithful and be humble. It's only when you have a strong feeling that you should leave something that you leave. Because then your soul cannot be wrong, your spirit cannot be wrong. When you have a strong feeling inside, a strong edge to do something, just do it. And that is your instinct. Yeah, some people also call it instinct. So your instinct cannot be wrong in certain matters. But if it is not a strong feeling, and you also have a strong feeling to marry someone, a strong feeling to be faithful to someone, a strong feeling to love someone and care about them, a strong feeling to bless somebody with something, a strong feeling to give somebody a job, a strong feeling to whatever you have a strong feeling about, or to start a new career, just do it. You will be amazed. I have a strong feeling that Lily Accra will work. It's not working like I wanted to. I want to close it down. Last year, I tried to close it down. I want to do it. But the feeling that God keeps telling me, keep it there, keep it there. I keep it there. I'm keeping it there. Because I'm sure He has a purpose for it. He was telling me, yes, I have plans for this thing. But as He was telling me, you won't believe it. Yes, but I speak to God. I do. And He also speaks to me. I don't know about you, but he does. He speaks to His people. You should try it sometimes. So you should check your emotions. You should check your feelings. You should check the things that you do. Don't rush into things. Don't push yourself so hard to take decisions and to rush around and to run around. No, your life is much more than just rushing and doing things. No. Take your time. Pray to God, trust Him, believe Him, and things will work out. You see? And things will work out. You shouldn't worry yourself so much about the things that are not happening. And it's a new year too, so there's a tendency to just overwork yourself over things that are not happening. I hear some people are in financial distress and they are not very happy. Yes. It's a new year, you went to Christmas and you spent all the money on chicken and things. So you should understand that things will be hard. Even God understands that things will be hard for you. How come you don't understand that things will be hard for you? When you were chewing that chicken, who did you think was going to pay for it? You. Yeah, you will pay for the chicken. It's not like chicken is free. Chicken is not free. Have you ever seen free chicken before? You pay for it. Goods. You were killing goats left, right, and I thought, who will pay for it? Everything has consequences. There is cause and effect for everything. And the cause of your financial situation right now is the chicken you were chewing in December. So don't think that, don't rush God. Don't put pressure on God and say, God, and things are hard. And No. You've chewed that chicken. It's time for you to pay for it. So relax. Keep quiet and suffer. Anyway, that's on the lighter side. But I feel that people should not rush this year. Don't rush. So many things are going to happen. So many uncertain things in the air already. You know, Trump has said his thing, and then everybody is scared. Like, world leaders are scared everywhere. They are scared because not just of Donald Trump or what he's been, but because of who he did it to. Iran is such a badass. And so people are like, these people that they can. And then there's an American actress who sent the message to Iran on the day, and she said, please don't kill us. It's funny. But even though America is powerful and all, people are still scared because Iran too, they have a lot of pride and they wouldn't want to take any blow and then just walk away from it like that. They want to fight back. Is forgiveness in the Quran? I don't know. Somebody should tell me. Because I think Iran should just forgive. This guy, Soleimani or whatever, I hear he's a very bad guy. He did some very terrible things. If he has done those terrible things, they should just let it go. They shouldn't let innocent people die because some guy who has lived up to 60-something years and he has enjoyed it. I'm sure he has had all the women that he wanted to have, drank every drink out there. He's enjoyed himself. I'm not saying he was a womanizer, please. I'm just saying that even if he was married, I'm sure he has had a lot of fun. He's had a lot of parties and things. He's a very powerful man. He was very rich, obviously. So, yes, he had a great life. Even though the way he died is very painful, I think Iran should let it go. And then just sit down with Trump and Americans and then sort things out. These things that they do, and they kill innocent people, and it's just not right. I mean, human life shouldn't be treated like it's just some part of some game that these leaders play. And then they go and people die unnecessarily. People are already talking about Third World War. Which war? World War. Hey, you people, do you know World War? Anyway, the UN should make sure this thing doesn't happen. All these things that they've been trying to promote around and trying to put in our curriculum and things, this is the time that they should make themselves relevant. There's war on the brink, and you are there promoting things that will not matter if everybody dies. So I think that the UN should step up and then make sure that Donald Trump is talked to. Because the guy is like... No, but you see, they shouldn't... I'm not even sure about the talking to Trump part, because the guy was taunting him. It's like you it's like a lion. You know, we've all decided. My grandmother told me this story. She said they decided that they were not going to kill any animals in the animal kingdom. So no animal should kill the fellow animal. So the lion agreed to eat, you know, fruit and things. So lion has become a carnivore, a vegetarian. He's eating fruit. But one day, lion has opened his mouth and he's lying down in his house. And then the bats up and went to lion's house. And then he started playing in lion's mouth. So he would fly into lion's mouth, go and stay in there, and come out. Lion was like, hey, this guy. So the others were watching. He said, hey, this guy should be careful. This lion, he can't kill me. Before he decided nobody should kill another animal, so he's not going to kill me. And then he flew into lion's mouth again. Then lion closed the mouth. It was his mouth. It was the closing was for him to do. So he just closed his mouth, chewed the guy. And then they called lion and said, why did we make a law and then you just flout it? And I said, I didn't flout any law. I was like sleeping in my house. I woke up, I closed my mouth, and the hand was in my mouth and I chewed it. It's fair game. So they were like, okay. Yes, Yashem Rasim will be for your ten will be on me another animal. It doesn't mean say what did your ten will be a rock. So that guy was just playing with fire with what he was doing with this guy. Trump has shown from the one that he is not really your normal guy. I won't say he's crazy, he's the president. But everybody knows it. It's like he's the only guy who didn't believe it. He was taunting the guy. There was a time Trump warned the Iranian president that he shouldn't threaten the USA again. And then this guy came and responded to Trump and said it is beneath the dignity of the Iranian president to respond to Donald Trump, and that he as a soldier respond to him. Like, you know what that means? If you want to fight me, I'll bring you war. I'm the one who will lead the war. So just respond. I mean, can you imagine? He was like, he thought he's all powerful and everything. Just to be intimidated, master. This guy has proven that nobody should dare him. I mean, his own people, look at what he does to them. The Democrats and the media and everyone, look at what he does to them. And you are outside that. You want to come and mess with him. He will mess with you. So me, I just feel that they should just let him go. Because if they are going to do anything, they shouldn't do it in this guy's style. Because he will not let it go. This is not the kind of person who will just say, oh, man, I'm just choosing the high road. He doesn't know any high road, though. He's been going low road for since. Look at his election and the campaign and everything, the things he said on plan. And he's still saying them, giving people nicknames and things. This guy doesn't. He's not your average person. So they should just forget about all this threats and everything and let it go. The guy went to play with fire and then he died. It's end of story. If he gets a chance to come again, then he knows that, look, when there's an obviously powerful person in the house, you don't go and mess with them. all the world leaders who have been very careful not to cross America, I think it's because of what? They all know what will happen if you mess with those guys. They will finish you. He said, when I was listening to his speech yesterday, he said, Iran took money that this and then we eliminated him. I think he's Anyway, that's fine. It's not fine killing anybody, but it has happened. And we all feel sorry for the man. Even though I hear he killed so many people, still no death should be worth it. I mean, we all are expecting to get to the place where God will take away all deaths and then people will not die anymore. And then we all live happily ever after. Fantastic. So that was how I came to, I was reading the Trump Iranian thing now, going through my timeline, and then I came to the realization that Nigeria since 2017 has been doing door of return. Oh yeah. They started the thing before like 2017, the return thing. I'm sure Buhari and Anado planned it. We were like, okay, let's do this return thing and then bring this fire over. Black Americans who already have so much money. And they don't know what to do with it. And then let them kind of spend it in hotels and tourist sites and our beaches and things. And let's make some money. And then Buhari said, okay. But Buhari was busy with other things. You know, Nigeria has been doing so many other things. They are trying to manufacture cars. They are trying to do so many things. Dangote is already getting to $15 billion. Is making so many billions. They are busy creating billionaires. So Nigeria was like, okay, you Ghana, you just go ahead and let's see how it goes. And then Ghana did it, and Ghana has become successful, and the whole world is talking about it. Oh, the media, CNN, everybody. And then I just said, wait a minute. If you all plan this thing, okay, then let us reinvigorate our door of return. So Buhari called his generals and his kitchen cabinet, and they were like, Ghana is doing so well, Ghana is doing this thing and it's going so well. And you know, we and Ghana, we are like rivals. Whenever they do something and it's nice, we have to do some. And whenever we do something and it's nice, they have to also do some. I mean, when P Square and Kota hitting and they were going global and Wizkid and everything that came out of Nigeria, now Ghana for the share, we are also going global. But we haven't been successful. I mean, our guys, they are trying, but the world is not taking notice. Nigerians have been able to break that glass ceiling, and they are now going, doing everything. But it's because they have money. The Nigerians have so much money. And the only way entertainment industry will survive this onslaught is for people who have money to go in. And that's where number one comes in. And people should talk to the guy. He's paying the people he owes. So there's some of the money there. They should talk to him that he will invest in the entertainment industry, the music business especially, and at least get our stars to be able to go outside Ghana and bring us foreign exchange. Because these American stars who are coming here, Beyonce and Co, they didn't make all their money in America. When she says she's going on a world tour, where do you think they go? They go to other rich countries. What? They would never come to Africa. Who will be able to pay $400 for a ticket to a concert? Or $800? I hear the time she charged $800 or something. $800 is like 4,200 Ghana cedis. So for one concert, who in this country will do it? Nobody. So she won't bother herself to come and do a show here. But the point I'm making is that these people made their money outside their countries. They were out there in China, in Japan, and when they play shows in those countries, they are able to pay huge sums of money to be there. And our stars can do the same if they're able to do music, but it's hard. Because when even the Nigerians are doing well, and even some Ghanaian stars are doing well, but look at the Asian stars who have been able to hit billions of views on YouTube, they still are not able to break out of their countries into other countries. I don't know what is the problem with the Asian stars, but I think they already have huge markets. If you are a star in China, you have about 2 billion people that you are selling your music to. Who else out there are you looking for? And already China is becoming a very rich country. So they have money to spend. So maybe that's why the Chinese stars and things are not going out there like that. But I feel that the Ghanaian stars, even when they try, they can be able to do it. So Nigeria is copying the door of return. And they are opening the door wide for everybody to come in. Like, even Ghanaians, you are invited to go to Nigeria if you want to attend. If you're a Ghanaian and you feel that your roots is from Nigeria, you can attend. I hear Ghanaians are from Nigeria. So, Ghana should leave a Ghana for us. We leave the lands in Accra and everything, and then go to Nigeria for the door of return, and then so that we can sell all their lands. By the time they come back, there will be no lands left for Ghana. Oh, Nancy, I'm kidding, though. I know you are Ghana, and you must be very pissed with me right now. You say, hey, you Coleman, why don't you go back to Kou? And you are here in Accra wasting our time. Charlie, I came here to look for my new. Yo, I was in Kou a few days ago, and I realized that there's no work in Kou. Like, you go there, there's only hotels. When Brian, I mean my MP, is Brian my MP? I don't know, but I think he is. When he built some hotel, is it a hotel or rest? I mean, it's so big, with lots of tall buildings and things, and he's calling it Rock City. And when I saw it, I was like, but why is this man building this? He should have built some other factory. Yeah, because there are no jobs in the area. But the good thing he did was that he employed the young guys in Kwetia, and then those were the guys. And so many of them got jobs when he was building the thing. I think that is a good thing. A lot of people like him. People love him. My grandmother loves him so much. I hear every Christmas he gives them some parcels and things. That's good. So Mr. Amati, is it Brian Amati? No, it's not Brian Amati. The National Security Minister. Please, National Security Minister. I'm a Coleman. I need help. Anyway, so this has been Saturday Morning Podcast with Isaac Ladd. I'll see you same time next week. Bye.